In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Ho, ho, and welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show of the champions, all the little boys and girls, local comic book shops. We're broadcasting at that really, really nice radio station, 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, and podcasting at those really sweet websites, comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Santa, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm his little elves, professors of Mohawk at Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your frosty snowmen.
Thumpity, thump, thump, thumping the world of comic books.
Indeed, indeed. Chris.
That was terrible, by the way.
Yeah, thank
you. That was absolutely
thank
terrible.
You know,
absolutely
you know terrible. Hey, listen, I was up to bat.
Yes.
I took a big cut.
You did.
And I whiffed.
Right. Hey, you know what? They all can't be winners.
Yeah, they all can't be winners, since that one certainly was not. I will agree.
No,
I will agree
100%
with you.
Well, how are you doing today after all that?
Chris, I'm doing great.
Good.
I am not discouraged by my slow start.
That's okay. That's okay.
I'm doing good. I'm happy to be here.
Me too. You know what? Christmas is getting close.
It is.
And you know what? Have you even started your Christmas shopping
Oh,
yet?
Absolutely not, Chris.
Oh, okay. Well,
no, absolutely not. First of all, it's not double digits yet in
no,
the month.
No,
you know,
no,
it's not.
It's
not it is, isn't it? It's
12th. Oh,
yeah.
It is the 12th, yeah.
Okay, well.
It is double digits.
There's not a 2 in front of the number.
I was
going to
say, it's not, not in the 20s yet.
Right.
Though.
No, I still got time.
Oh, yeah, you got lots of time. Don't you worry about it. All right.
All right. Chris, listen, the show is kind of a Santa Christmas themed show today.
Yeah, a little bit.
Obviously, in honor of you know
of
the
Christmas
and the holiday season.
Coming
so you and I have got a little bit of eggnog going.
13
which is
days
nice.
Away. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, we're having we had a lively discussion before the mics turned on. I just hope we don't lose. I want that passion that you showed me. 10 minutes ago, Chris, bring that passion out.
I showed you passion?
Yes, you did.
Oh.
Indeed, you did.
All right. Okay. Well, you know what? Let's get things started right away. We are here to talk about comics, so let's talk about new comics this week. And new this week is brought to you by Stockings Hung by the Chimney with Care. Trust me, guys. These stockings, hopefully, they will be filled with comic books. So visit your local comic book shop today.
Indeed.
You know,
and your local comic shop will have the best comics for stockings.
I just hope they're not comic book, you know, customers' stockings that haven't been washed in a while. Then that might be a little,
yeah,
smelly,
that might be a little
know.
Dicey.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
all right, I'm sure they won't be, Chris.
Okay, good.
Listen, what'd you pick today?
Well, I've got you know what, I'm hot on this Avengers bandwagon these days. You know, so I've got two Avengers comics. The first one I'm going
not
with
one, two.
Two. That's right. I've got two. Well, last week I think I had like what, 8 or something like that. I had
yeah,
a lot last week.
I think you had 8.
So this week I've got two. And I'm going to go with Iron Man now, you know, Marvel Now, Iron Man number 4. And this is, of course, by Gillenland, Lystein, and Guru. And, wow, you know what? I just – the art in this is so awesome. I love Greg Land's artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Great art, great story. Just love everything about it. And, you know, after seeing the work that Adi Granov had done on Iron Man, I like seeing Greg Land's work on this because it has that same kind of – a feel to it. It's got a same kind of, I don't know, it's hard to describe, but Greg Land's Iron Man really looks good in
right,
comics. Like
right.
it looks like it looks technical. It looks like it's meant to be there.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, I like the interior look. I like Greg Land since he was doing what he was doing.
Sojourn.
Yeah, I'm a big fan
from
CrossGen
yeah.
series. Yeah. So yeah, Greg Land, great artist. I agree. Iron Man number 4.
Yes.
Iron Man from Marvel Now, number four.
Iron Man from, what's
you
that company
you
again?
Gotta, you know, there's so many Iron Mans. You got to do which Iron Man is.
That's so true.
That's true. At your local comic book shop today, Chris. Check that
yes.
out.
Yes. And the other one I want to talk about is, you know what? I got to say, I kind of liked it. You know, it's Avengers Arena number one.
AA.
AA. So, you know, I know you know all about AA.
Hello.
But this, however, is all about the comics. This one is, you know, it's kind of a fun comic. It takes the
kind of a fun comic.
It is. It takes the what do you call it? The Young Avengers. And do you know now? Here's a character. Now I know you know the character. I'm not. I don't want to give too much away.
Don't
here.
Give too much away.
Well, I'm gonna give a little bit away.
Okay, give a little bit away.
Okay.
I'm trying to work with you here, man. Okay. Come on.
So, do you remember the character? Oh my goodness, what's it? Arcade. Arcade from X-Men.
Oh, of course.
Do you remember? In the old, remember he was he had Murder World. He was like he was dressed in white and he had like the red hair.
Yeah,
and he was kind of like a game show contestant.
Yeah,
kind of game show guy.
The early Byrne stuff.
Yeah, right. Well, he appears again in this comic.
Ah.
And the cover looks an awful lot like the. I don't know if you're familiar with. Battle Royale, that's the Japanese manga.
Yeah.
It was turned into a movie as well, and I think it was a novel. Anyways, the cover of this looks an awful lot like the cover to Battle Royale as well. And I think from that you'll get that the premise is kind of similar, that they're sticking a whole bunch of characters on like an island, and they basically have to kind of kill each other to get to escape.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Avengers Arena.
Yes,
Murder World.
A lot of fun. A lot of fun, that one.
Number one, available at your local comic book shop.
Now, next up, we've got Batgirl number 15. And
Batgirl.
Wow, you know what? This is part of the Death of the Family comics. You know, they're running through a lot of the Bat series.
Doing very, very well, by the way.
Doing very, very well.
Extremely well.
And you know what? It is kind of horrific.
Uh-oh.
It is kind of horrific.
The
it
whole
is,
Batman Death in the Family thing is kind of taking it up a notch
yeah,
on the violence it, and on the sadism and on the all that kind
it's
of.
It's very creepy.
Yeah.
And there's
I can't
like,
say I like it.
It's, you know, I know comics aren't meant to be just for kids, but wow, it'd be nice to, I don't know. It's clearly taking it up a notch. And I think if this wasn't a Bat title, mm-hmm. this should have been a Vertigo book.
Right.
It should have been in the mature comics section. I know that they don't really, you know, it says rated T for teens, but wow. I guess it's a teen book, but I certainly wouldn't want to give it to any kids. It's a, you know, there is some blood and there is some a little bit of gore, and it's just creepy. They've got the Joker's in it, and he's looking extra creepy.
Wow. All right. Chris, the Joker and this whole Death in the Family is extra creepy. This Joker scares me.
Yeah,
I don't
it
like
really
this
does.
Joker
yeah,
right
he's
now.
He's weird looking, eh?
Yeah.
He looks kind of like a Leatherface version of the Joker,
yeah,
right? Like
yeah.
He's got the white face, but he's wearing a mask of somebody. It looks like he's wearing a skin mask. And it's very creepy looking.
I guess the bottom line, comic book fans are loving this stuff.
Yes, absolutely.
They're
you know
flooding
what?
Into the local comic book shops
and
to pick
oddly
Death in the Family up.
Oddly enough, that was one of the topics on, I think it was either Bleeding Cool or Comics Alliance, and they're talking about like when Gail Simone leaves, because she's the writer on this Death of the Family,
mm-hmm.
When she leaves, how is anybody going to take over this book? Because it's doing so well,
right.
And it's such a dark take on the characters that, you know, where are you going to go from here, right?
Right, well listen, luckily, there are some damn good comic writers out there.
Absolutely,
and
there is.
It's up to DC, Warner, whoever to, you know,
yeah.
get another good writer.
And you know what? They said the same thing when John K. Snyder did the Owls. What's it called?
Court
of the Owls. Yeah. They said, who's going to take over this? And, you know, of course, they found somebody.
Sure.
But, you know,
absolutely
it's
right.
They're doing great stuff.
Good.
Okay. And lastly, for our non-Marvel and non-DC book that we usually like to talk about, I got to bring up, we haven't talked about this for a while, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah. Is that still going on?
Still going on. Season 9. So now, of course, they had the series, the TV series.
Seven seasons of the series.
Right.
Right.
And now they continued it on in the comics, and now they're on season 9, issue number 16, and it's still going. It still has Joss Whedon's rubber stamp on it.
Name
it's
on
executive
it,
produced by Joss Whedon.
Means he does nothing.
Well, he probably gets the gist of it.
Hey, Joss, here's kind of the outline. Yeah, run it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I like it.
All right, you're not going to kill anybody, right? No, we're not going to kill anybody. Okay, that's good.
All right, that's good.
Just go with that.
Yeah. You know, like, I remember when season 7 went to season 8 and then season 8 went to comic books.
Right.
I remember at the comic book shops loved it because they had all these people coming in, a lot of women.
That were never in comic book shops
going, oh, you know, can I pick up my Buffy?
Yeah.
It's like, great, of course, here you go, right? And a lot of them enjoyed their comic book shops and hung around and became customers of their comic book shops, which is great.
Now, my question to you now, though, is, Walt, are those customers still around? Are they still buying Buffy? Or has it kind of died off a little bit? Like,
it hasn't obviously died off. I think the numbers are down.
Okay.
Like, I think the numbers are down. And it's one of the, I don't know whether they're going online or they're waiting for the graphic novels, trade paperbacks, but the numbers are definitely down from those.
But they could be waiting for trades, right?
Yeah.
Because that does happen, too.
Yeah, but obviously for Dark Horse, it's still paying off for them to print Buffy.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, it's great news. Good to see. I would love to see season 10, you know, on TV again. Or a movie or something like that and help the comic. I think Dark Horse will continue
something
to write
comics. Something like that would definitely bring the comics back to life a little bit.
Well, I mean, you and I talked about this probably 430 times on the show.
Okay.
About Marvel's Star Wars.
Yes.
How they held the flame, the torch.
They did, absolutely.
When the Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Jedi? Return of the Jedi in 83 hit.
Yep.
And then there was nothing, right?
For a long time.
And there were so many Star Wars fans like, that's it? That's all we're going to get? Yeah. Those three movies?
And then eventually even Marvel kind of gave up.
Yeah.
And then Dark Horse took
it. But that's okay because Marvel, it was comic books.
That's right.
The medium of comic books.
Absolutely.
Whether it was Marvel or Dark Horse.
Yep.
They held it for like 15 years or so.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when the next series of movies came out, there wasn't just that gulf.
Right.
Of content from 83 to 99 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
There were comic books in between. And I hope with Buffy it's the same thing.
I have a feeling it will be. All right.
Okay, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, number 16, season 9, at your local comic book shop.
All right. And lastly, but certainly not leastly, you know, we're going to get into this a little bit later on in the show, but talk about what to buy for your kids, what to buy for people for Christmas. And you know what? I'm holding in my hands the Garfield trade paperback from Kaboom.
Oh, thank God that's what you're holding.
I'm holding in my hand Garfield trade paperback number 1, volume 1, and I love it. It's written by Marc Evanier, who's been around for a long time, and it's got art by a whole bunch of different people. Of course, it does have Jim Davis's trademark on the cover, but it's got art by Gary Barker and Dan Davis and a whole bunch of other great people. But you know what? I love it. I love the fact that Garfield is still going strong. You know, it's a character that's been around for like, what, 25, 30, 30 years
Garfield.
Maybe?
Garfield is beyond awesome.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the Saturday cartoons.
Right,
local papers. And Garfield is always one of my favorites. Davis, his frame timing,
what he can do
in like 8-9 frames, convey the
movement
on the sequence is just brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of them, you could almost do course studies on.
Yeah, right.
On just how nicely the sequence of there can be no dialogue. It's just kind of sight gags and stuff, and he's just so good at what he
does.
That's right. That's the part of the magic of Garfield. Just obviously the humor, right?
Yep.
Is the humor in it. So it's great to see.
Highly recommend it for any parent out there who's looking for something to get their young. Youngin, it's a great book for you little kids especially, and it's not a terrible price point either. It's well priced at your local comic book store, and of course any comic book store of their worth is going to have this in stock.
Darn tootin'. All right, Garfield, the graphic novel at your local comic book shop.
Now, Walt, I know it is not a Christmas song, but you have demanded that we play a Krantz Spider-Man song once a show.
Chris,
so
all we have to do is add a little bit of sleigh bell into it, and it'll be fine.
You know what? This needs a little more sleigh bell.
This just needs a little more sleigh bell.
All right. Well, here you go. It's the giant chase.
Thank you.
liking that, Chris. That's
well, you know what?
Stuff.
It's very rare we play the whole song, and that was almost pretty much almost the whole song.
Right.
So.
That's good stuff. Yeah. That's good stuff. It does not. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. It does not get better than that stuff.
You know what? All you need is, you know what you need when you listen to that? You need a nice glass of cognac.
Oh,
and just,
I love
Yeah. Lie down in your club chair and just chill out for a little bit.
No, you know what? Glass of cognac when you're chilling out or at work. If you're reviewing the sales numbers.
That's right.
And you're in front of the computer and you got that nice bottle of Highland Park 18 open, right?
Yeah.
And that's for work, right?
That's
cognac
right.
is in the evening after dinner.
Right.
And you're relaxing to nice music. But, you know, that was kind of, you know, positive.
Absolutely. It's awesome.
Right? It was good stuff.
Very good stuff. All right.
Good job, Chris.
So what do we got next? Comic Culture Mailbag.
Sure do.
Comic Culture Mailbag is brought to you by Non-Alcoholic Eggnog. What's the point? I mean, it's still good.
Chris, I don't believe a word you're saying.
I agree.
I mean, they're paying, so yeah.
Yeah, it's
buy
still good.
Buy non-alcoholic eggnog.
Of it.
And then just when you get home, spike the crap out of it.
With cognac.
With cognac. All right, Chris, let's move along. So here's the question.
We got mailbag here.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, this question came from Jenny from Lincoln, NB. What's NB?
New Brunswick
or Nebraska?
New Brunswick. Could be Nebraska, maybe. I don't know. Is it NA? I don't know.
Hey, guys. Which comic character would make the best Santa?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, it is a very timely question with Christmas coming up.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have a character in mind. You think of one as well.
Okay.
And I'm gonna say, I think the Kingpin.
Oh.
Kingpin of crime, because you know what?
He's got a big tummy.
He's got a big tummy, but not only that. He needs to, somebody forgot to turn their cell phone off.
Oh, wow, that is embarrassing.
He needs some good PR. He needs some good spin doctoring. So, you know what? The Kingpin can go out dressed like Santa and, you know, he can start donating all kinds of money to charity, you know, and then all of a sudden he becomes a good guy after all, right?
Yeah. I like it. Okay, the Kingpin. I'm thinking like the Penguin.
Penguin, yeah.
Hey, little boy, what do you need for Christmas?
Batman, a hero.
You know who'd make a good elf, though? That Mistletoe guy.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Mistletoe-pityitlick.
Mistletoe-pityitlick.
Yeah, the guy that you had to say his name backwards.
Licklick guy.
Licklick.
The picklick guy.
Yeah.
What did Superman have to do with that guy?
He came from some alternate universe.
He's a little guy. Looked like an elf.
Yeah, it looked like a little imp.
He'd make a good Santa elf.
He probably
point.
Would.
Yeah.
And Superman, in order to get him back to his own universe, he used to have to make him say his name backwards.
Oh, so.
So.
No. Yeah. No, he'd have to make Mistletoe-pityitlick say his own name
backwards. That's what I mean.
So
yeah,
you'd trick him.
Yeah, you'd have to trick him somehow.
Oh.
So instead of it was, remember in the comic or the cartoons, it was like, you know, they'd say it was like Mr. Mixlepick or something like that.
Yeah.
And then it would end up being like Kipple Slim or something.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Jenny, I hope that really helped.
Did that help you out there, Jenny? Yeah, I hope so.
You know, Jenny, you're dealing with pros.
Pros.
With me and Chris. Yeah. So, listen, Chris thinks the Kingpin will be a good Santa. I think the Penguin could make a good Santa. The Penguin's got that little paunch. It's just right.
Yeah,
you know.
But he's got a big nose. Could scare kids off.
Yeah, but you know what? He would.
The monocle?
See, this is the good thing about once you don the Santa outfit on, all evil melts.
Oh, really?
It's like I don't know what it is. It's a magical thing.
I think I've seen a few movies where that would be wrong, like Silent Night, Deadly Night, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Do you remember that? Remember that Lobo? There was like a Christmas
Lobo paramilitary Christmas special. I do remember
where the Easter Bunny hires Lobo to kill Santa.
That's right. That's exactly what it was. Yeah,
that's good quality comics.
That's back when comics were comics.
Yeah, that's when comics were comics.
I don't know what that means, but that's
All right, Jenny from Lincoln, Nebraska, or Nova Scotia, New Brunswick. I mean, or Nova Scotia. Who knows
whatever
where she's from.
I'm sure there's a Jenny in Nova Scotia that's listening as well, and she probably want to know the answer.
There you go. So thanks for the email.
All right. Listen, let's keep on moving along here with industry news. And industry news is brought to you by those three wise hoes Santa's always talking about.
Excuse me?
Wiseman.
Wiseman.
It says three wise hoes. Haas? Three wise Haas. Maybe that's what it means.
Wow.
I don't know what it means.
Wow.
I don't know. You know what?
We'll have to ask our producer.
You know, the producer really has to clarify these things.
Well, he's screening those ads, right?
It's spelled H-O-S. That's spelled Hoss.
Haas.
Haas.
Haas? The guy on
Bonanza.
On Bonanza?
Yeah, I didn't
know. Hey, Haas!
The wagon's stuck
in the mud!
He's one of the wise men now?
I guess so.
I'm confused. All right.
Listen, did you already do the sponge? Yeah, you just did the sponge.
Yes.
And it went terribly. We're going to talk about let's talk. Did you see the Superman trailer?
Oh, we're going to talk about that. Yes. Yes, I did.
It came up yesterday.
I liked it a lot. That was great.
Did you like it?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
I know you're not going to like it because
I saw it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, okay, what'd you think of it?
I thought, I don't know. Like, why does he have a beard?
So,
Spoiler alert.
Out of that whole trailer, that's what you got out of it. What's with the beard?
What's with the beard? Superman doesn't have a beard. Never had a beard.
I think it looks good. I think it's taking a darker, serious, more serious tone to Superman.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm not sure yet if Superman needs a darker or more serious tone in his movies.
Right.
I think it looks a lot. I mean, it's by Zack Snyder, who was the director of Watchmen and 300, and clearly they had a darker, more serious tone to those movies. And I don't really know if Superman should be like that. However, having said that, it did obviously work for Batman, and Christopher Nolan is the producer of this new Superman movie.
Right.
So, and I don't know. I think it could. I think it's obviously going to be very good.
Yeah, but you know what? The problem is all Superman movies are measured against the first Superman movie, which was, you know, I still vote the best comic book movie so far.
Right.
And
I would disagree with you, but it's very good.
Yeah, and that was kind of lighthearted.
Right, you it know? Was, yes. And I think
and that was that brought joy. That brought kind of a little bit of naivete to the character and
but
all
you know
that
what?
Kind of stuff.
And you know what? I was going to say, I don't know if he can do movies like that anymore, but I'm completely wrong because you've got movies like The Avengers, which are very fun, and it was nonstop action.
Yeah.
And there's no reason why you can't have a very light, colorful comic book movie like The Avengers. Why can't you have that for Superman?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, not everything has to be dark and brooding and morbid all the time in order to make it, you know, good.
Yeah. Well, listen, I really, really hope the movie hits well.
I think it will. Yeah. It does look good.
See, here's the problem with, first of all, I'm a disclaimer at the beginning. I don't know anything about anything. But, but here's the problem with making a dark, serious movie. About a guy in tights and a cape, okay? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying, Chris?
Like,
that's why the first one was kind of tongue-in-cheek and,
right.
and it worked, right?
I don't know
if today's public is going to take a Superman movie with a guy with a big cape and tights. Seriously, that's all.
You have a very good point. As I said before, I know it works for Batman. I don't know if it works for Superman, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
I
think I like the costume. I'm not all that upset with the costume changes. The Superman iconic S looks a little bit different, but I'm okay with it.
All right. Chris, let's move it along. Let's talk about November's comic sales at your local comic book shop.
Good. I thought we were going to talk about something boring.
Oh. Well, certainly not boring.
Oh, okay, good.
November sales, according to Diamond, were down 1.1% over 2011. Factoring in the 2011 November had five Wednesday shipments, were actually ahead. But the good news is, year over year,
right.
up until November, we're up 14.6% with comics and graphic novels combined.
Awesome.
We are heading for a banner year at your local comic book shop for comics and for graphic novels.
Now, I would love to know what part The Walking Dead has played in that 14% raise.
Well, it's going to play a larger part on the graphic novel side. The Walking Dead is a blip on the monthly comic book side.
But the only thing
are you listening to me?
I'm hearing what you're saying.
All right.
But you know, just hold on a second here. What I'm going to suggest is that I'm wondering if the people that are coming in to buy Walking Dead, if now you've brought them into the comic book store, now they're looking around, and are they buying other new comics? Right?
I certainly hope so.
Right? So, right. I mean, I'm wondering, because there's a lot, Walking Dead is certainly a huge phenomenon, and I'm wondering how many people who never stepped in a comic book store before came in only because of Walking Dead and now are buying a monthly comic because of that.
I don't know. I'm going to say not as much as you may think, only because Walking Dead types may not gravitate right away toward the capes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Whereas, you know, Marvel and DC numbers are going up, and, you know, they sell capes.
Right. And
so I don't know, but I'm sure there's some spillover there, and I'm sure it's helping.
Now, having said all that, I think that obviously the DC New 52, the change in that title, has done wonders for comics.
Yep. Just,
and I think now, more recently, I think the Marvel Now is doing very well for bringing in new readers. Because you know what? I, as much as I don't like all the changes, I got to say, you know what? It's very easy for a new guy who wants to start collecting comics to be able to jump on to a number one.
Sure.
Right? You know, when I was younger, I used to hate it. I I'd have that attitude. Well, you know what? I muddled through it. I got through it. Even though at issue number 455 of Action Comics, I figured out what was going on after reading a couple issues.
Yeah.
But you know what? It can be daunting, especially on somebody who's entering the comic book industry for the first time.
Well, I mean, you're right, and the Marvel Now, I mean, that is just like it's ruling the roost. And the best part of the November sales figures I like is the top 10 comic sales in November all peaked at 100,000 plus in terms of in terms of sales.
Right.
First time in 5 years that has.
Yeah, that's
done.
Awesome. That's great.
And you know what? I remember 2 years ago they were saying, you know, it's the death knell of comic books and stuff like that.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I don't know, man. We're in November 2012. Your downloads are entrenched by now.
Yep.
Your codes in your comics are entrenched by now. And you have the top 10 comics selling through now, selling to your local comic book shop in numbers of over 100,000.
Yeah, but you always have to base those on those numbers, right?
And they're higher than they've ever been in terms of, at least in the last half decade.
That's awesome.
So that's a great trend. It's a great thing to see.
I think
floppies are selling.
Yeah, and I think that the acceptance of comic books in general is helping perpetuate the sales of comics. Right? Like, I mean, because now you've got people who, you know, because of the Avengers movie, because of the Batman movie, because of the new Superman movie, because of the Watchmen movies, all these movies that have come out recently about comic books, strictly about comic books, and people are aware that they're about comic books. They're not some sort of, you know, Men in Black where, oh, I didn't know that was a comic book or you know, whatever title.
Road to Perdition.
Road to Perdition, exactly, yeah. You know, that you might not have known it was a comic.
Right.
Now there's these comic book related movies coming out.
Yeah.
And I think that people are becoming more interested in comics because of that.
Right on. Well, hey, listen, the top selling comic in November was all new X-Men, followed by Batman, but then really it was Marvel
But that's interesting because you know what? Okay, so in the top 10, you've got X-Men, and then you got Batman. Now, almost all of them are number ones, except for Batman and Justice League, which are both number 14s, and then Uncanny Avengers is number 2.
Right.
But it was sort of a weird blip. But I think it's great that, you know, everybody buys number ones, right? So because, hey, they want to get rich and they, you know.
Put my kids through college.
Yeah, right. But, you know, the fact that there's still a couple issues out there, a couple of single issues that are still producing more than 100,000 copies at issues, you know, 14, I think is great because that clearly shows that people are interested enough in the title that they're going to be buying this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I remember maybe a year or so ago, you and I talking about that one month that no comic hit 100,000.
Right.
Yeah. So that's good news.
Yeah.
All right. So this Marvel Now, which obviously was a big part of this success, right? Over at Comic Book Daily, a writer, Ed Campbell, he did a nice little piece, a blog on the Marvel Now. So obviously the guy's got some time on his hands.
Obviously.
He went and read the whole, all the Marvel
Now. Good for him.
And he did a report card.
This is awesome. This is great.
On Marvel Now. So, well, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I mean, he gave some A's and B's and C's and D's, and I mean, you take it over.
Okay, so, well, you know what? So, A-plus grade. And I completely agree with this. Indestructible Hulk and Thor, God of Thunder. When those two books came out, I immediately said they were going to be my favorite ones. I remember reading Thor, God of Thunder.
That was a great book.
By
I read that, too.
Your friend...
Asad Ribic.
Asad Ribic and Indestructible Hulk by Lionel Yu and Mark Waid. You know, Mark Waid's coming off the heels of Daredevil.
Yeah.
And Lionel Yu is an amazing
artist.
So, you know,
I love you, Chris.
I love you,
I love
too.
You.
I love you, too.
Okay.
Walt. You know what? The only thing I, you know what? So then you've got an all new X-Men number 1 and 2, Uncanny Avengers number 1 and 2, and Avengers number 1, all getting A-minuses.
Yeah, A-minuses.
Which I would agree with. Fantastic Four, Iron Man, and Thunderbolts gave Bs. I would also agree with that.
Right.
A C grade to FF number 1. That's the one by Mike Allred.
Uh-huh.
I would actually grade that lower, personally.
Oh, really? You didn't like it?
I thought it was terrible.
All right.
I thought it was absolutely garbage.
Maybe it's just so different that you're you know what I mean?
You know what?
You're a traditionalist.
You know what? I am. But you know what? The art was great. Mm-hmm. I got to agree with that. And maybe that's what was going to keep it up above that around that C level.
Right.
X-Men Legacy number 1 also was given a D. I completely agree with that. Read the comic. Didn't understand a single thing about what was going on.
What the hell is going on?
And it's a number 1.
Right.
It's a number 1.
That's scary right there.
Right. Yeah. You know, wow. E, given an E grade. I don't know if there was an E grade out there, but, okay.
I thought it was a D then an F.
That's
this is the
too.
Ed Campbell E.
E for Ed Campbell.
E for Ed.
Well, he gave Captain America number 1 an E, which I'm a little disappointed. I thought it was a better comic than that. I actually enjoyed the Captain America number 1.
Hold on, Chris. Ed, I don't think you know a thing what you're talking about. According to Chris, Captain America number 1 was a damn good book. What would you give Captain America 1? Like a C? A B?
B-minus.
B-minus?
Yeah, C-plus, right. B-minus, somewhere around
Could have
there.
Been better, in other
Could
words.
Have been better, right. But it wasn't terrible.
Okay.
Certainly was better than X-Men Legacy.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And Deadpool, he's given an F to Deadpool.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? Deadpool, I don't know what to say about Deadpool. It's not that I have a soft spot for Deadpool, but I feel like you can make, it's almost like it's meant to be crap. In my opinion,
because it's
so ridiculous. This character is so absurd now. They've made him so crazy that they can do anything with it, and it's meant. It fits. Like, he can kill him 55 times. Mm-hmm. He still comes back to life because he's got this extreme healing power.
Right.
So, the fact that he's off there fighting dinosaurs and doing whatever, why not? It's already stupid enough as it is. Why not push the boundaries and make it even more stupid, right? So I would disagree with the F fail because I thought it was not a bad – it's just a fun book, right?
Right on. All right. Well, Ed, Ed did a great job with the post. His opinions on the Marvel Now and obviously a topic – of interest to many comic book fans. Hey, everybody owes it to themselves to head into their local comic book shop. Check out the new Marvel Now number 1s and, grade them yourselves.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's have a quick musical interlude here. Here's a little Spider-Man by Aerosmith.
Chris, that's a great song, but it needs more sleigh bell.
It does need a little bit more sleigh bell. It
definitely needs some more sleigh bell.
Yeah.
Chris, we're going to move it along. We're going to talk about some really, really funky cool stuff here right now.
Funky cool Medina.
This seems to be a Christmas / Marvel Now show.
So far. Yeah,
we're
going
to continue that premise.
Oh, all right, sure.
Marvel Now to be featured on Jeopardy.
Oh, Alex Trebek.
I lost on Jeopardy.
Alex Trebek.
Baby.
You know what? I used to love it when SCTV used to do the old Alex Trebek stuff. Alex Trebek, as he used to call
it. Yeah, Alex Trebek. Remember, the best one of that was, Chris, remember the one Halfwits?
Yeah, I used to
remember the one with Martin Short? Martin Short's one of the half-wits, and it's like, and Alex Chappelle's like, okay, name me a food made in Italy.
Yeah.
And Martin Short is like, Swedish meatballs, Alex. he's like, you idiot. Or the hell do you think Swedish meatballs are made? And he presses the buzzer again. Spade, Alex. And they'd be just like going mental.
And I love at the very end of that, he gets so frustrated that nobody can answer a question right. He was like, okay, just answer, name a number between 1 and 10. And then, 12. And he's like, no, next person. Has 12 been said? And then the guy's like, it's too hard. I'll pass.
Yeah,
used to love half-wits.
Great, great stuff.
Yeah.
So,
anyways.
Jeopardy. Marvel Now. Marvel, Disney, whatever.
Yeah.
I guess they're paying for, what is it?
You know what? That's a very.
A category.
You know what? Are they actually paying for it?
I'm sure they are.
You know what? Okay. This is a very good question. So I'm wondering. So Jeopardy, I don't know what company owns Jeopardy.
Probably Merv Griffin.
Okay,
that's
so
be my guess.
Okay, so let's say Merv Griffin owns it. So uh-huh. Who owns Merv Griffin? Like which company? Like is it?
Merv Griffin owns Merv Griffin.
Like I mean, which company? Like obviously,
right? Okay, yeah.
Like
yeah.
Maybe ABC.
Sure.
And I think ABC is affiliated with Disney.
Sure.
Right, and Disney now owns Marvel. Right. So I mean, you know what I mean? Like it's. I think they're probably pushing this whole.
Yeah,
Marvel
you could be
thing.
Right. You could be right. Yep.
Yeah.
You
never thought of that.
Yeah, you are right. Yeah, Chris, you are a. You're right. You could be right.
When you're right, you're right.
When you're right, you're right.
You know what? You're
so, right. So on the December 13th, which is, I believe, tomorrow.
Yes, yeah. Tomorrow already.
So check Jeopardy out tomorrow. You're going to see a special category on Marvel Now. Where they're going to see if the contestants know about, you know, Marvel Now's most popular characters and their exciting new comic book series.
Wow. Now, okay, here's my problem with this.
You have a problem?
Is it really going to be about Marvel Now or is it just going to be about Marvel?
I think it's going to be about Marvel Now.
Oh, come on. They're not going to say which character in X-Men Legacy just got recently killed.
Yeah,
like,
be
no one's
going to
give two pieces of you know what about that?
Yeah, you're right. You're
you know,
right.
Or are they going to say in what is it? Avengers? What at least one? Avengers? No, Avengers Assemble. What was the one that just came out? Avengers?
Academy?
Avengers Academy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think really think they're going to say what was the main villain that appeared in Avengers Academy number one?
Yeah, they'll be more general.
It'll
be
like
general.
It'll be like who's the Star Spangled hero that came who was thought out from the 1940s?
Right. No. But I can picture this, Chris. I can picture, especially say they don't know comics.
Okay.
That well, it's like the mistakes. It's like, I'll take Sergeant Furry for 200. that's Sergeant Fury. Yeah, I'll take Sergeant Fury for 200. But you know what? I don't know. Like, I'm hoping that they have special guests. You know how sometimes they have football players
and stuff like that.
Can you imagine if they had like
Spider-Man?
No. Oh. I was thinking like Stan Lee.
Oh, wouldn't that be awesome?
Stan Lee could be on there. All right. So it's like Stan Lee would come on there and he'd say, "Yeah, I'll take, I'll take superheroes with." Biggins, female superheroes with Biggins for 200, please. That's big guns, Mr. Lee. Yeah, I'll take superheroes with
big guns
for 200. I'll take no. I got that one wrong. I'll take her O's for hire.
Her O's.
Her O's. That's heroes for hire.
Oh, I'd like to know all about her O's.
Right.
Oh, dear.
I'll take Beaver Girl for 400. That's Squirrel Girl,
Squirrel
Mr.
Girl.
Lee.
Squirrel Girl.
Because, you see, he forgets
Yeah. Even though he created half of them.
But I don't know. I think if they went that way, if they kind of had superheroes, or your idea of Spider-Man or Batman.
Right,
like,
right.
I'll take Wolverine for 200.
Exactly. Bub.
Bub. Snicket. I don't know. It's going to be the worst show ever. Nobody's going to get anything right. Right?
I'd like an Iron Fist.
Yeah.
I mean, for 200.
For 200. Oh, it's going to be terrible. But, I mean, okay, so Marvel Now. No, honestly, Marvel Now. Yeah, they can't. You're right. They can't ask Marvel Now questions because what?
No,
you know,
no.
What, I don't know. Like, I'm not to racially or genderly profile.
Okay.
But what's some, you know, middle-aged housewife from the Midwest gonna know
about Marvel Now?
Marvel Now.
About Marvel, maybe, but not
yeah,
Marvel
but not
Now.
Marvel Now.
Right.
Exactly. Unless you're getting some college kids or something like that coming in.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, yeah. Some of this stuff just came out this week. So how's that going to work?
Anyway, so listen, it's a good promo.
Yes, I like the idea. I like the fact that, you know, once again, as you and I have said many times in the past,
yep.
Comics are now bridging multiple different genres out there and multiple different, you know, platforms, I'll call it. So why not in the game show platform?
They're everywhere. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. It's just another sign of how far we've penetrated.
Right.
Penetrated.
How deep we can go.
How deep we can go.
Within Marvel Comics.
Into society in general.
Right.
And you know, we want to go deeper.
We always want to go deeper.
And which is a good thing. I think, you know what? I think you and I, you know when we'll have arrived. I said that wrong. We'll have arrived when
yes.
that middle-aged housewife from the Midwest can answer the Marvel Now questions.
Right, absolutely.
And we're on our way.
I feel like I'm arriving right now.
All right, Chris, let's move it along. Let's talk about something. Hey,
okay.
Something that you like.
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead.
And video games. You know what?
And video games.
So.
Does it get any better?
You know, it really doesn't. And you know what? Okay, here's the thing. Walking Dead is like the number one show on TV right now, right?
On Earth.
So why shouldn't it also be the number one game on Earth? Because clearly it's encompassing everything. The Walking Dead has somehow managed to not only be the greatest TV show, but it's also getting Game of the Year from the Spike TV Annual Video Game Awards. Game of the Year, Best Adapted Game, Studio of the Year, Downloadable Game of the Year, Best Performance by a Human Female. I have no idea what that means. But anyways.
Wow.
The point is.
I can start imagining.
Yeah. My point is, you know what? Walking Dead is taking over the world.
It's taking over the world.
Robert Kirkman is going to control your mind pretty soon.
Oh, pretty well. It's going to be a zombie apocalypse.
It really is.
Never mind zombie apocalypse. Honestly, it's going to be a zombie Christmas.
It really is.
Yeah.
You know what? So this
Walking Dead graphic novels, Walking Dead board games, Walking Dead video games, Walking Dead toys.
And you know what? Who would have thought that?
Yeah.
Like years ago.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I would have thought this whole zombie thing would have been over by now. Clearly it's not.
Yeah.
It's not even started to be over yet.
Yeah, here's the thing, Chris.
Here's the thing.
Usually the, what do you call those people that study society? Sociologists?
Sure.
Yeah. There's something to the zombie popularity.
Right.
There's something in the public, the social psyche.
Yeah.
To this. It can't just be, you know, wow, I like Walking Dead. No, it's hitting a nerve somewhere
it really
in us.
Is, yes.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know either.
You know?
But you know what? You know who does know? The people
who?
That are buying the Walking Dead video games.
Tell me about that. So have you picked this up yet?
You know what? I have not. And the only reason why I haven't is up until now, it's been an only downloadable game. So
right.
Apparently now you're going to be able to get a retail version of it. So up until now, if you have to own a PlayStation or an Xbox or something, and you actually download it right directly to your game console.
Right. You don't own either, right?
No, yeah. I've played
Atari or something.
Yeah, I'm still on Atari and Pong. I do have a PlayStation 3, and
mm-hmm.
I have not played it. I don't know why I haven't. I just haven't gotten
right.
around to it.
Yeah.
But apparently it doesn't actually how do I say this? It doesn't use the same characters as the TV show. It's sort of like in the TV show, here's all everything that's happening with Rick and you know, his son and his wife and all that kind of stuff. And in the game, it's kind of like, well, here's what happens, like, you know, in one city over, apparently. You know,
right,
here's
right,
what's
right.
happening with other characters that you don't normally know about, but it's just as it's in the same time frame. And it's supposedly an amazing game. It
right.
gets 10 out of 10 out of every website I've ever seen, IGN and Spike and all these other kind of websites always give it top marks. And I haven't gotten around to playing it because I just never got around to it. But apparently it's awesome. And it is rated M for mature, for blood, gore, violence, sexual themes, and strong language.
Wow.
But yeah, if you're into Walking Dead and if you're into video games, this is the game to play.
This is the game to play. Listen, and since it's being Christmas and Chris does not have the game, you listeners know.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You can just, I don't know. I mail him some games.
Sure, there all you right. go. Yeah, why not? Let's you know what? Let's have a quick musical interlude here after we've talked all about Walking Dead, and why not a little bit of the old Batman?
Of course, that's a great song, but it needs a little more sleigh bell.
It really does, you know? Doesn't it?
A little more sleigh bell in that song.
A little more sleigh bell.
Would it just
that's
been
all
perfect.
Anybody really needs. Okay, yeah. You know what, Walt? Here, this is the time for the portion of our show where we're going to talk about Christmas.
Get out.
You do know about Christmas, don't
yes,
you?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
I
well,
do. I have two.
Our next segment is brought to you by Jingling All the Way. Don't just jingle half the way. It's Christmas. Give it your full best shot. You know what? Wear boxers. When you want to jingle all the way, just wear boxers.
Lovely. Well put.
All right. Okay. So, Walt.
Yeah.
You know, you have worked in comics for many years. I have also worked in comics for many years. I currently do not. You currently do. However, I think between us, we have, what, 60 years of comic book retail?
72, I counted.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Now, I'm sure over the years, now, don't you love it when... Yeah, grandparents or aunts and uncles come to you with their lists and they say, oh, dearie, my son wants this.
Yeah, then, my son, he's 13. Do you have this comic called Crossed?
Yeah, right.
Ma'am, we don't have that one. No, we sold out.
Sorry. Do you have The Preacher? I hear it's really good.
Yeah. That Caligula.
Okay, so here's my here's my question to you. So... Let's say, for example, a girlfriend who doesn't know anything about comic books comes into the store and says, my boyfriend really loves comics. He doesn't collect the old stuff, but he really likes, you know, toys and statues and that kind of stuff. And he's a DC fan. What do you recommend to him?
Well, first thing I do is I look around and see what hasn't sold in a while.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. No, you know what, Chris? A good question is, like, at our shop, and I'm sure at every single comic book shop across North America, this is the time of the year when we're seeing, you know, the girlfriends, the boyfriends, the brothers, the sisters, the aunts, the uncles, the grandmas, the grandpas, the moms, the dads, right? We're seeing them. We only see them once a year. And... I honestly think it's very important that we greet them well, service them well, and represent ourselves as comic book shops well, because that will help and add to the legitimacy of, you know, what we do. And it's already there. Like,
right.
You know, this could have been a monologue 10 years ago, but we've come a long way. It's already there. But I also think it's important that the people that are not into comics
right.
can come into a comic book shop, get help and service, and walk out of there saying, you know what? That was a professional store.
Right.
That was a well-organized retail outlet that is servicing my whoever, whatever kin
yeah.
or friend
yeah.
or whatever's
yeah.
needs, and I can see why they want to go in there.
I think there's still a stigma attached to comic book stores.
Right.
Where You know, even recently, which astounds me, even recently, you know, when I say to people, you know, I'm going down to the comic book shop, people say, oh, there's a whole store devoted to comic books.
Right.
Like, they can't believe that a whole store would just sell just comics. And then I tell them, well, it's not just about comics. Mm-hmm. There's more to that. So
pop,
Walt,
culture.
I've got a list for you of items here that, you know, so what... I basically, if somebody comes in, what are you going to get for this type of fan? And
okay.
I'm going to mention this kind of fan. What are you going to get for that particular person? Okay,
this is going to be hard.
It won't be. No,
it will be.
Okay, okay.
I'll make it hard.
So, what do you get for the Batman fan?
Batman fan?
Yeah.
Night of the Owls.
Court of Owls.
Court of Owls.
The graphic
that.
Novel. Well, that'd be
yeah.
Good.
The problem with that is the Court of Owls is if they're Batman fans, they've read it.
Hmm.
So I would get some paraphernalia.
Like what?
Some Batman paraphernalia.
Like a statue or something?
A statue, a little bobblehead. Those pop...
okay.
Those pop Marvel pop from Funko.
The Marvel
bobbleheads.
The Marvel ones.
DC
pop. For Batman. Sorry.
Yeah. The DC pop bobbleheads are really fun. Yeah, get him some peripheral stuff. And the good part about... I'm sorry to keep plugging local comic book shops. But
the
good part about a local comic book shop is if the person is a regular there, they'll know. They'll
okay.
know.
Okay.
Right.
So,
but anyway, you're asking me right now.
Right. Okay, I'm asking you. Okay.
So get him or her a trinket, a Batman-related trinket that they probably don't have.
Okay. What do you get for the sports fan who also likes pop culture and Star Wars and comics and stuff like that? What kind of things could you possibly get for them?
A case of beer for a sports guy.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, no, you get your local comic book shop will have, hopefully, they'll have a whole bunch of cool little things like Star Trek fans. You can get, like a miniature Enterprise or something
okay.
like that. Or Star Wars people like...
for
I know
sports
what we
fan?
Have. No, but okay. Sports fans, get them a dartboard.
But aren't you going to go to Walmart for that?
No, your local comic book shop can have a Star Wars themed dartboard.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
That's the thing. The comic book franchises are in pretty well. I think every single product
right,
out there.
Right.
You know what
okay.
I mean, I don't ask me this question around Valentine's, okay?
Yeah, right.
Because I can send you to a couple of shops that have some good superhero related
right.
items there.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, like say like a dartboard or something like that. Get,
okay.
Get the, perfect for the man cave. You
right.
Know, like
perfect.
A Star Wars dartboard.
Perfect. I love
who,
it. I
now
love
you're
it.
A Star Wars fan.
I am.
Who would you have at the bullseye?
Oh.
Darth Vader? The Emperor?
Probably the Emperor.
Or that really whiny Luke Skywalker.
No, I like Luke.
Do you really?
Yeah, I like Luke. Yeah.
He's a whiner.
I know.
I don't want to finish my training.
I was going down.
I'm a suck.
I was going down to the Tashi station to pick up some power converters.
Yeah. What's your problem, buddy?
Yeah, okay. So you know what? So let's say some old timer comes in. Who,
oh, yeah. Those
know,
are the guys
yeah,
I can deal
he,
with.
He's
how you doing, bub?
Old Golden Age collector, and he wants to buy something for his buddy who's also a Golden Age collector, right? Collects Golden Age comics. You know, maybe he can't afford an actual comic, but
yeah.
Is there something around the store that, you know, maybe they could buy for the guy that probably hasn't even stepped into a comic book store in ages?
Here's the problem. Here's the problem with Golden Age guys. The Golden Age, for people listening, are 1930s and 40s comics, right?
Right.
Yeah. So the good thing about those is you're never going to find the comics that guy wants. And when you find the comics that guy wants, you can't afford them, right? The great part about comic book shops, good comic book shops, is they're going to have collections.
Right.
Right? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Some old-timer and you're into, I don't know, the Spirit. Will Eisner's the Spirit.
Right.
How the hell are you going to find old 1947
yeah, absolutely,
comics
absolutely. Very hard
to
find.
You go to a good local comic book shop,
yeah.
And they'll have Spirit archives.
Yeah, right.
Beautiful,
oh,
reproduced
great.
Hardcover archives, you know, you for $40 or something. You get
yeah.
a nice hardcover
it's a reprint of the original one.
Reprint
right.
of the original one
okay.
in beautiful,
awesome.
Beautiful
glossy
brown,
stock,
glossy stock
yeah,
paper.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So. Okay. One last one here for you.
All right.
What do you get for the original art fan?
Original art.
Well, do comic book shops even have?
No,
yeah, I like that. No, but do they sell original art?
Some comic book shops will have original art. Not very many.
Okay.
Not very many. The good news on that is, though, even you know how I talked about the Golden Age guy with the reprints?
Yeah.
I don't know what they're called. Forgive me with the name.
Okay.
But for some very, very classic series, like I'm talking about artists like Walt Samuelson, Neil Adams, Romita, Gene Colan, all these guys that were famous artists in the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Right.
They have these reproduced comic books, and they're the size of the original art paper.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
Basically, it's the comic. And go to your local comic book shop. Go to somebody that knows way more than I do about this stuff.
Okay.
And ask about this type of stuff. So it's basically
artist rendition, artist proofs, or something like that.
So you basically get the size of the original artboard.
Right.
And the original artboard. You don't get the colors.
Right. It's just black and white.
You see the original artboard border on it, you know, with the guy's notes on it and all that kind of stuff.
You know what? Now, not to cut you off here, but you know what I saw on
Frank Miller had one of those as well.
Yes, and David Mazzucchelli had one for Daredevil.
Yeah.
Speaking of original artwork, do you ever go to, I know you peruse some of the comic book websites.
Mm-hmm.
So, Neil Adams, a very famous comic book artist, revolutionized Batman.
Neil Adams.
In the
he took Batman out of what would you call it? Camp.
Camp.
And took him back into dark mystery.
Right. Yeah. Long before Frank Miller ever did.
Oh, he did that in late 60s.
Right. And you know he did all those great stories with Green Arrow and Green Lantern, mm-hmm. and the Hard Traveling Heroes. Lots of great stuff he's done for DC. So, you know, I gotta say that when you're looking for something to buy for someone for a Christmas gift, if you want to spend the money on eBay, you know what I saw, Walt? Neil Adams, classic artist.
Yeah.
Batman. There's a sketch of Neil Adams' artwork of Batman riding a unicorn.
Excuse me.
I kid you not. So if
hold
you're,
on,
if,
Batman is riding a unicorn.
Yes, Batman is riding a unicorn. If you're a Batman fan and if you're a Neil Adams fan, this is almost the perfect gift. Almost. However, he's riding a unicorn, and I believe the starting bid is $1,000.
Oh, my God.
So for $1,000, you can have an original Neil Adams sketch of Batman riding a unicorn.
How high are you going to go up, Chris?
$5.
$5, yeah. Right. You're not in on that. Well, that's great. I mean, the great part about original art, and you can go on websites that have original art, is they're all one of a kind.
Yes, yeah. Yes, absolutely. All right. You know what? Sadly, Walt, it looks like that is all the time that we're having for today.
All right. Well, Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone, engineered by our young buck, Andrew Roebuck. And for comments and suggestions, please visit www. I don't have to say www.
No, you really don't. Yeah.
Comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link. Scroll down to the comments field and add your comments. Also, hear us at
Get the Point Radio.
GetThePointRadio.com.
And remember, there's no place like home for the holidays, even if you're stuck in Arkham right next to Poison Ivy.
Right on. And listen, go out and support your local comic book shop and enjoy the holidays.
Have yourself a great day.